Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 394th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Total Contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the most wonderful time of the year. It's Dana White Contender Series time, and this is episode 394 of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's not just the most wonderful time of the year, but I'm gonna dedicate this episode to Yanni, because this is Yanni season as well. No. Yanni the Greek back in our lives every Tuesday night, making his amazing picks on Dana White Contender Series. If you don't want to tell Yanni's questionable picks, we'll say, I'll be polite, then this is the place to be, because we do have a...
Is he on? Expert. We know he's confirmed to be on this season.
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. We can always hope. I'm not saying what side we're hoping for, but we can hope. The man who just spoke, he is the real expert in Contender Series, I think. We'll just ignore last season, maybe. I looked at some stats from last season, but let's let him come in and try to defend his case. It's the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. You're good at this, right?
I think we did last season. So last season, if you just went like money line on everything, I think the lump numbers were lower than 2021. 2021, obviously, like off the charts, best year ever. Last year, if you just look at the money line and just do the, we bet $100 on every single money line kind of deal, which, you know, we've talked about, not the way to do things. You probably did bad. But if you listen to our breakdowns and you made specific picks on like props and rounds and things like that, we cleaned up again. I think everybody in the Discord was hitting big props here, and I've broken things down this year to try to give you a little bit of extra edge if you're going to do things that way too, give you multiple angles of things, and give you maybe like some safe ranges, because I know you guys like when I give ranges on regional picks. I'm not necessarily going to do them blind like I do for LFA, because sometimes the LFA lines aren't out and whatnot, but I do have ranges that I like different people in here and stuff like that.
Well, at least one person in the Discord loves edging, so they're going to love that you're giving edges here, right?
That's right. Somebody's really into that.
Somebody is really into that. So as Gumby said, I think last season you started out uncharacteristically poorly, and then I think you pulled the nose up and we're hitting like 4 out of 5. As the weeks went on, because 2021
2021 was unprecedented, right?
I four, like four out of five week,
every week I was 4 out of 5. Actually, I think there was a 5 out of 5 in there one time too. No, 2 years ago I hit a 5 out of 5 too. The Jack Della week I think was a 5 out of 5. But I would say this, I think it started off with a couple of people who just fought very different than I expected them to, because I wasn't necessarily handicapping how differently they would fight, trying to impress the boss, especially after the Meet Joe Pyfer speech.
That changed things for sure.
Threw a lot of things off. But I think now that everybody who wins gets a contract, with the exception of Karolina Wojcik, I think she's still the only one who won off that season and doesn't have a contract now. I think you're going to see people return to a little bit more normalcy.
Yeah, that is something you have to keep in mind when you're handicapping these. Will these fighters, like if a guy's a wrestler, grinder, are they going to, he or she, are they going to do that? Knowing that Dana White is all about stand and bang and just bleed. That is something you got to keep in mind. So, but like Gumby said, after he blew a gasket, he being Dana, blew a gasket in the Bijo Pfeiffer week, he became Father Christmas and was handing out contracts left and right every week after that.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, that's pretty much what the series has devolved to. I liked it better when, you know, one or two people were getting a contract, or he was just picking the people who were clear prospects. But I will say, if you go back and you look at some of those early seasons of Contender Series, where he was just picking one or two all the time and, you know, kind of tossing everybody else aside, they whiffed on a lot. And I don't mean like they whiffed on like, oh, they should have never signed, you know, this guy, or oh, they shouldn't have never signed this guy. But if you go back and you look, there were times where you were like, oh my God, that person won and didn't get a contract. Like Don Lee won and didn't get a contract. Casey Kenney won and didn't get a contract. Alonzo Menifield won and didn't get a contract. Dan Ige won and didn't get a contract. Like these are just like some of the, Kyler Phillips won and didn't get a contract. John Castaneda won, didn't get a contract. Like these, Julio Arce won, didn't get a contract. So like, I think originally we were like, you know, this is a great format. I like that they're just picking the most deserving people. And then they started to realize like, hey, we're putting out a really high quality show. And then obviously the problems with pay, which are, you know, that they're trying to find the cheapest people possible. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think they whiffed on enough that they realized there's a lot of talent out there that they could just scoop up at all.
Yeah, I wonder if the bean counters give them a quota. You have to sign X amount of, these fighters get 10 and 10 when they enter the UFC, 10,000 to show, 10,000 to if they win. And then you're going to see a whole bunch of veterans get axed very, very shortly to clear room. So I wonder if there's a quota or if it's just, you know, Dana does whatever he wants. We shall see. We're starting off with week one, which I guess would be the natural place to start. Before we jump into that, I'm going to tell you about our Patreon, because Sports Gambling Podcast has a Patreon now. And it's a perfect place for the diehard degen, just like you. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL Win Totals contest with a $1,000 first place prize. So we're not just taking money, we're giving you money as well. Plus a monthly SGP Stories podcast. SGP Stories, it's called. It's a podcast, an ad-free, uncensored show highlighting the best stories from decades of being degens. There's even a Discord channel just for patrons. Sports Gambling Podcast has and always will give out all their picks for free. The Patreon is a great way to support the network and fight back against corporate gambling. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. All right. Your feelings, without going into specifics, feelings on week one. Is there anyone to be excited about on this week?
This was, looking at the first couple of weeks, this is probably one of the more underwhelming weeks in terms of like pure talent out there. Yeah. I think there's probably less like high level UFC guys in the future here. I will say it was a good one for odds. Cause I kept, I'm going to be honest. There's a couple of these fights where I kept watching tape and being like, am I just really in love with these odds, or if there's something I'm seeing here? And so like, there's a lot of these fights where I was like, it's wild that the odds are where they are. It's wild that they're this close, or it's wild that they're this far apart, or, you know, like, so I think there's lots of opportunity for making money here on this one. And I'm really waiting on the props. The props haven't hit the books yet, but I'm going to be pretty excited when those hit too.
Fantastic. We are here to make money. Disclaimer off the top, I'm going to make fun picks. I have not watched tape like Gumby. All I did was basically a biographical background on these fighters and who they beat and when and all that type of stuff. But I want to see how my picks do, just putting out fun picks. So that is a disclaimer. Yet I'm still going to kick Gumby's ass. Despite all the hours you put in, I'm going to beat you just to make you angry. Is that a good thing for a friend to do? I think it is.
I mean, if you're just going to blindly make picks and pretend that you know things, it'll be just like the other 400 episodes.
Exactly. So I will make him very angry. All right. Tuesday, Contender Series is starting. Contender Series 2023, week one, Tuesday, August the 8th, 7 p.m. Eastern, from the UFC Apex on ESPN+. I believe it's on TSN up here in Canada. And we got five fights. It's a fun, breezy fight card, and we get some good commentators on it too, which is always a nice plus, right?
I mean, sometimes. They're not. Sometimes I mean, like, Laura's DC, on everyone, usually. DC doesn't sometimes.
Well, we'll get so many great jokes if DC's on it, so.
Yeah, true.
All right, we're going to start with flyweights. Kevin Borjas, or is it Borjas? Borjas, right?
Yeah.
Borjas versus Victor Diaz. We got a Peruvian versus a Brazilian. I will tell you about the Peruvian first. Borjas. El Gallo Negro. Do you know what that means?
The black chicken.
The black rooster. You almost had it.
Yeah.
He is 8-1 with 8 knockouts. He's been submitted one time, so he's never gone the distance. He's won 3 straight fights. He's not lost since December 2019. He's regional champion. 7 years younger than Diaz. He's at plus 280. That's impressive. He's never gone the distance, and he's a flyweight. So that is that's something you don't see very often. Diaz is Pacoca. Do you know what that means?
I think I remember, but I don't. Nope.
It's a kind of a peanut candy in Brazil.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely don't remember.
So why he's named that, I don't know. I'm assuming he probably eats it or ate it at least once. That's usually how these nicknames happen. You know, you do something once and then that's your nickname for your life. So Gumby turned green once and got really stretchy and voila, his name's Gumby. All right. Diaz, 11-2, 1 knockout, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 5 straight fights, 3 straight via submission. Used to fight at bantamweight, minus 395. So some big odds here. I'm going underdog, Dan, just for the heck of it.
I am too.
Whoa. See, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm going Borjas out of the gate here not just because I'm swinging wildly and I think these odds are nuts. There's a couple of reasons to really like Kevin Borjas here. The first one being Victor Diaz is the third or fourth guy they've had Borjas lined up with. Borjas was supposed to fight Joshua Van, who eventually, you know, just made his showing in the UFC and looked damn good doing it. Then he was supposed to fight Hickson Zinedine, who couldn't get a visa from Brazil. And now Victor Diaz is stepping in on short notice here. And then the other reason why, other than just the short notice, is I think Borjas's resume is a little better. Like, I know he was fighting an Inca FC, which we made a joke about in the last episode. But, like, Victor Diaz has fought, like, yes, he is the Titan FC flyweight champion, but he's fought some, like, real low-level dudes in there. Like, you know, his last title defense was over a guy, or no, actually, that was up at bantamweight, that Thiago Belo fight. Guy who's 9-6, before that, 10-9, we're talking about 11-8. Actually, the 11-8 guy now is 13-11 after a few more fights. He fought Cleveland McLean, who's 17-10. Like, it's not like he's out there fighting a bunch of killers in Titan. Titan is kind of not the organization it used to be. It's kind of fallen down on times. Then from a stylistic standpoint, if you watch both of these guys fight, Kevin Borjas is very light on his feet. He's got a very sharp 1-2 combination that's very quick. He does a really good job of catching kicks either to the body or to the legs and then returning a straight right down the middle. He does have some decent leg kicks on his own. His sprawl is all right. I would say if you're worried at all about him losing this fight, it's that you're worried about him being taken down and not winning. But like once he gets comfortable too, he like really starts letting his hands go. And he also, you know, I know we talked about this in the last episode about people being comfortable on the bottom and just accepting being down. He doesn't do that. He works to get back up no matter what. And Diaz is a guy who's striking, not terribly good. He throws a lot of naked kicks, just like one kick and done, which, as I said, is something that Borjas excels at countering. His strikes are really wide. He looks really tired after a round. Now, the obvious concern here, and I think the only reason why his numbers is where it is because he is very good at jiu-jitsu. If he can get you down, which sometimes it takes him a while to, he likes like high body clinch takedowns, like body locks and stuff like that, which I don't know will work necessarily against Borjas, but that's what he likes the best. But once he gets people down, he's sharp with his jiu-jitsu. He can keep you down. He can backpack you. He's got a lot of choke finishes, arm triangles. I think Borjas is probably good enough to stay upright. But like if you wanted to cover your own ass in your bet on Borjas, you probably could find even money on Diaz to win by submission. And again, the props aren't up yet, But if the number on Diaz by submission here is nice too, you could probably play both sides of this fight and just taking Borjas or Diaz by submission and like winning something no matter what. So officially, if you like my money line play here, I'm going with Borjas. I don't think there's any value on Diaz at damn near 4-1 or -400 rather. But like, I also just think he's going to be the better Borjas here is going to be the better striker. I think he can pick him apart.
Yeah, I was basing mine just off of resume, so I'm glad that you actually confirmed that was probably the play to make. And that's the type of breakdown you're going to get for every fight. Gumby will tell you exactly how to play it. So that is what you're coming here for. Let's move up a weight class to bantamweight. Peyton Talbot, Reyes Cortez, a couple of Americans going at it in bantamweights. And I will tell you about Cortez first. Junior Cortez, Tracy Cortez's brother. The nickname is JR, a.k.a. Junior. He's 7-2 with 5 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 Contender Series, 0-1 LFA, 1-0 on the Cage Warriors. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of 5. He won his last fight via TKO/knockout. Used to fight up at featherweight. He's at +120. Talbot, 5-0 with 5 knockouts, is a regional champion, 6 years younger than Cortez, 3 inches taller, -142. I'm going dog again. I'll take Junior Cortez.
So before I make my pick, I would like to just I would like to speak to the fine people who run UFC Fight Pass for just a moment. And okay. I'm begging you, pleading with you, imploring with you to just find a uniform way of putting people's names in so that when I go looking for a fight, I can actually find it. Because the amount of times I looked for a Junior Cortez fight only to find out that it wasn't in there because his name is Reyes Cortez. And then once I got ready and used to typing Reyes Cortez, finding out that the next fight I wanted to watch with him in it was Junior Cortez. And they just flip-flop back and forth enough so that if I want to watch enough film on him, I got to be on my toes and remember that he has two names. Please, just for the love of God, work on that. And get this. I'm going dog too.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
I like Junior or Reyes Cortez, whatever one you like in this one. I know Peyton Talbot is like this hot prospect that people are all jacked up on because he's weird. You don't see a lot of 5'10", 135 guys, right? He's lanky. That's a really weird shape. And he bounces in and out, and he's like, especially with the big hair. If you haven't seen a picture of him yet, he's got like a huge, like Alex Caceres ass afro here. And he bounces in and out, but the problem is his head doesn't bounce in and out. His head stays right there on the center. The only thing his head does sometimes is when he's striking, it leans forward ever so slightly, but it doesn't move down or to either side. That worries me. And the fact that he's not particularly fast for a bantamweight. You know, being long and lanky is great and it gets you a lot of places, but also like if you can't back up with speed, sometimes you get caught. Like that's what we saw with Bahamondes this last week, right? Like you can be tall and lanky, but if the shorter guy is going to be faster than you, sometimes that's fine. Now, the other thing I think here is in play is that I think people are overrating or underrating Cortez because of the fact that he lost on Contender Series. First of all, let's remember he lost to C-Rod, Christian Rodriguez, who wound up looking very good. But also in that fight, when he wasn't getting the best of striking exchanges, he brought C-Rod to the fence. He held him there, worked for takedowns, scored a little bit. Okay. Ultimately lost rounds, but showed he's a more than competent grappler, which by the way, C-Rod, not an easy guy to grapple as Raul Rosas learned. So knowing that Cortez has got that, first of all, very important. Also, I think he hits harder leg kicks than Talbot does. I like the fact that he switches stances all the time. And you know, I mentioned the wrestling of Cortez. Talbot was losing his last fight. So he fought for Uriah Faber's A1 combat. And he fought this guy named Kristen Rivas, who's from Ecuador. And he got taken down pretty much at will for the first two rounds, was clearly down 2018. Opened up with his strikes in the third round, got a TKO finish. That's why we have him here and not coming off of a loss looking for another fight in Uriah Faber's A1 combat. And I think Cortez can mimic a lot of the things that Rivas did in that fight. I think you're going to see him, you know, first of all, with good pressure, which I think is really important in this fight. Second of all, with a bunch of takedowns and like control. And I think if he does that, it might not be the most exciting win. But look, this is a guy who lost a close-ish fight last time on Contender Series and has since gotten a lot better. Specifically at his head movement and his striking since then and finishing his takedowns. Cause I've watched a few of his fights since then. Cortez has gotten quite a bit better fighting. I believe he's been fighting in Fury FC, and actually I think he had a Cage Warriors fight when they went to California.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's gotten way better at those, since then. So yeah, I think Cortez is the smart pick here, especially, you know, again, I don't mean to keep just taking dogs, but at the dog money here looks good.
Hey, we're on an underdog roll, and we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. These things always seem to sync up. The NFL season is right around the corner, and Underdog Pick'em is a great way to get down on a ton of NFL player props and is available in a ton of markets, plus plenty of opportunities to win in their daily MLB contests. And, of course, make sure to enter Best Ball Mania 4, where first place gets $3 million. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Right. Let's see where we're moving to next. We are going way up to the big boys. Are these chunky guys though, Dan?
Loose chunky.
Loose chunky.
One is real chunky and one is loose chunky.
See if you all can guess who's who. Kayo Machado, Brazilian, but he's Canadian now. We're going to adopt him, perhaps. We'll see how he does. then we'll decide. He's fighting Kevin Zaflarski. Is that right?
Yeah, Zaflarski. Yeah.
I seem to butcher the Polish names for some reason, but yes. He's Polish, and I did not butcher it. As I said, heavyweight fight. We're going to tell you about Zaflarski first. We'll leave the Canadian till last. He's Zaflarski's 11-1, and 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's won 11 straight fights, so he got knocked out in his debut, and he's not lost since. So that has been April 2017 was when he debuted and lost. He's not lost since then. He won his last fight via TKO. That was back in May of 2022. He's a regional champion. Used to be a super heavyweight. So based on the last weigh-ins, he was 16 pounds heavier than Machado. He's also 2 inches taller. He's at minus 110. It's the pick'em fight. Machado, Bigfoot, is the nickname. 7-1-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 6 straight fights. He's not lost since November 2018. 4 straight fights via finish. Is regional champion, minus 110. I'm going with the Canadian Machado.
Well, we're going to differ on this one. I'm going to take Zaflarski.
Oh, okay.
And I like Machado as a human being quite a bit. He was on Top Turtle a couple of weeks ago. Very, very nice guy. The problem with me is if you watch the film on Machado, he comes out throwing crazy wild strikes. And it seems like the only reason he's trying to throw those strikes is because, damn it, he wants to be in the clinch and he wants to try to hit a takedown. And in the meantime, he's just going to throw like, you know, I'm going to give you another Simpsons reference since I hit these 2 weeks in a row. Do you know the hockey episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa decide they're going to fight each other before they have to play hockey. And he says, I'm just going to move my fists. And if you should happen to get in the way, then so be it. And like, that's kind of how Machado throws to start a fight. He just windmills his arms until he's close enough to grab you or you happen to get in the way of his hands. And Szaflarski, if you watch, is like, actually, for a big fat guy, a very composed boxer. Like, he's got a very nice boxing stance. He's, I don't want to say light on his feet, but light-ish on his feet. He's good in and out. Anybody who shoots on him, he's got really nice underhooks. He immediately shoots those because he knows he's a better boxer than you. And also, like, he's actually pretty nice on the ground when it gets there, too. Like, if he wants that trip in the clinch, he gets it, and it's pretty good. His pressure against the cage is really good. He's got good counter wrestling. And Machado, again, like I said, like, I like parts of his game. Like, his jiu-jitsu's good. Like, he hits, he's gotten a couple of arm bars two times in a row, but both of them have come from mount and in kind of, like, risky ways. But luckily, his opponents were just, like, exhausted, and he hit them. I think his resume is maybe a little bit deceiving, because while he's fought a good guy or two up in Canada, like, the last couple of guys he's fought have been pretty bad. Like, he fought Lee Main twice. Lee Main, 12 and 17 as a pro, and looks like he's 400 years old. He fought Edson Lopez last time, 17 and 8, and not a nice physique. And the only guy he's actually fought, which is Dustin Johnson, he got beat up pretty bad in that fight. So I think Szaflarski, I think he should be a favorite. Let's put it this way. After I take this, and I was like, oh man, they're a pick'em odds. Szaflarski should be able to beat him. I'd probably play him all the way up until like -150 or more. I think there's value there. He was a dog for a brief moment. I don't know how long he was a dog, but he was a dog for a brief moment. Now that it's at a pick'em, I'm pretty comfortable there too. I think he's going to just be so much sharper on the feet and just stuff the grappling here.
Alrighty, we're differing, but as I said off the top, I'm just making picks blindly for fun here. So we shall see. We shall see. I'll brag if I win, though. All right. Co-main event. They don't call that, but it's in the second of the top slot. And his lightweights, Tom Nolan, the Australian, or is he New Zealand? Let me see. He's Oceanic. He is Australian. Yes. And he's fighting Bogdan Grad, who is where, Dan?
Austrian. He's Austrian.
Right. He's from Austria. And this, as I said, this is at lightweight. And I shall tell you about who's the underdog. Grad is a slight underdog. He's 11-1, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's won 5 straight fights. He has not lost a fight since September 2020, plus 100. Nolan, Big Train is the nickname. 5-0 with 3 knockouts. He's 5 years younger than Grad, 6 inches taller. Minus 120. Give me the Aussie, Nolan.
What did you say the odds were again?
Minus 120, plus 100.
And plus 100 is on Grad now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's flip-flop from when I last looked.
Right, let me check again as we
speak. No, I checked Saturday morning. Good. So if you checked after Saturday morning, that's you're more accurate than me. I'm going to go Grad. Another
I can give you plus 105 for him now. How's that sound?
Oh, even better.
All right.
Yeah, I just keep taking underdogs. I feel like I'm wildly swinging here, but look, I think Bogdan Grad is not going to be the best striker in the world. He's kind of got wild swinging punches, but I really do love how powerful he is once he's in the clinch. And how strong his double leg. Like, he's got a really nice double leg, and he's up against a guy who's very long, right? You know, we talked about Talbot being lanky. Nolan equally kind of lanky. He's 6'3" at 155 pounds, which is, you know, real weird length. And he uses like that push kick and Muay Thai stance that kind of you need when you're that tall. But also, like, if he throws that many kicks, I think Grad's just going to get a piece of him. You know what I mean? And also, like, Nolan only kind of opens up his punches and really starts to throw when he backs somebody up against the cage. The problem is that I don't think Bogdan Grad takes a step back ever in a fight. Like, he just continuously moves forward all the time. I've also seen it where Nolan's been held against the cage for a really long period of time. He tries to throw knees, but like sometimes that just gives a lower lock on the takedown, which I think is what Grad's going to be looking for. And while Grad is not known for his striking, he does have some very fun, like spinning heel kick finishes and stuff like that. So like he can bust that out when he needs to, which can be tricky to deal with. I will also just say in watching film for this, so I love Bogdan Grant. I love him at the dog money. I would say this is probably the hardest fight to pick. So if you were going to, you know, if Bogdan Grant winds up at like negative 130, negative 140, I'm probably off that money line. I don't really want to play this one unless I can get dog money on somebody. So like even if Nolan popped up into the dog market here, I might maybe dabble on that. But I think this is kind of two newbies who are maybe a little bit hard to gauge. But I will tell you, when I watched Tom Nolan last time, he fought a guy named Aiden Aguilera at Eternal MMA down in Australia. And if you click on Aiden Aguilera's Tapology page, it doesn't list a nickname at all. But if you watch his fight in Eternal MMA, he does have a nickname. And I wanted to share that with you guys today. It's the Premature Finisher.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. Aiden Aguilera, if you watch Eternal MMA 30 or 74, is called the Premature Finisher.
There you go. See, Gumby brings it. He's bringing it this episode. All right. We're going to bring you the main event now, shall we? We shall. It is middleweights, 185 pounds, Cesar Almeida from Brazil versus the fellow Brazilian, Lucas Fernando. So, see, worthy main event, Dan, based on this card?
I think so. Lucas Fernando is a guy who's been in LFA for four fights now. And, you know, depending on which time you're watching him, he's looked good or not. And then, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Cesar Almeida in a second, but he may not have the MMA chops that we're used to seeing, but he's got some other chops in there. So,
all right, let's break it down. Almeida, Cesina, C-E-S, and then Ina. Gumby?
Little garbage.
he came up as basket. So maybe little basket, perhaps.
Interesting nickname nonetheless. All right. Yeah. Little basket.
Okay. He is 3-0 with three knockouts. So yes, as Gumby said, not a heck of a lot of MMA experience professionally. He has not fought since December of 2021. He's been busy doing kickboxing where he is a champion. That is the other realm Gumby was alluding to. He's at plus 220. Fernando, 9-1, five knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. 4-0 in LFA and is the champion there. He's won four straight fights. He's not lost since August of 2020. He won his last two fights via knockout or TKO. He's fight at welterweight, 9 years younger than Almeida, 3 inches taller, minus 298. Give me the favorite, high-level MMA experience and way younger.
I'm going to take Almeida.
Ooh, you are dog crazy.
I just went dog crazy. But look, so listen, he's fought nobody in MMA. And I do mean nobody. His first two fights, zero fights. The second guy, or the third guy he beat, 5-28. That guy is now up to, I am happy to report, has now gotten his sixth win in his 6-31. But Cesar Almeida, for those of you who don't know, is a very high-level kickboxer. And I do mean a very high-level kickboxer. He fought Donovan Weiss twice in very competitive fights. That dude is a super high-level dude. He's also fought Alex Pajeda three times, including one win. This is a guy who beaten Alex Pajeda in a kickboxing match and gone to decision with him three times because they just went toe-to-toe. This dude hits like an absolute truck. Like he hits so, his right hand is so powerful when he hits somebody. He's durable. He's taken a beating from like in those kickboxing matches. He's never lost by knockout in a kickboxing match, to my knowledge. And he's been in there with dudes, right? But also, he knocks people out because he hits so freaking hard. And, you know, sometimes if I was, you know, handicapping a kickboxer coming into MMA, we're actually going to talk about one in the future. You got to ask the questions, like, can he defensively grapple? He's never had to in an MMA fight. I can't find good film on him. What do we know about what he's able to do? You know, from the most part, all I know is he's now at Extreme Couture. That's where he's been learning his takedown defense and learning on his sprawl and all that kind of stuff. Is that enough to beat who he's facing? And if you look at Fernando, like a lot of Fernando and what he does is all upper body. Because he's so long, he doesn't shoot really low takedowns. Like if you watch that fight with Janzy Silva, a lot of his takedowns are like upper body takedowns. He is like a decent wrestler, But, like, he also kind of, like, leans way in when he's striking. You know, kind of like I was talking about Talbot. He, like, leans forward when he's striking. His head movement's not great. He moves forward all the time, but, like, maybe in a way that seems easy to counter. And I'll just say this, like, it's just going to take one punch from Almeida to turn the lights off. It's just going to take one time for him to decide to uncork that right hand when Fernando moves in. He's going to land it flush, and he's going to score the knockout. Again, another prop I'm just looking out for when it posts, Almeida by knockout, even if it gets me an extra, you know, you said 220 was the money line?
Yes. Even
if it gets me up to 270, you know, even if it doesn't move it too much, like that's his path to victory here, is to just throw that big bomb. And unless Fernando changes the way he shoots the takedown, gets in on the legs, or unless Almeida comes in here and is 80 times worse at defensive jiu-jitsu and defensive wrestling than I thought he was, which, by the way, I'm going to caveat this by saying there's a real possibility he just like has worse takedown defense than any fighter we've ever seen before, that he looks real terrible off of his back. But if he doesn't, if he's got a shred of takedown defense here and forces Fernando to stand, I think he catches a hand, and worth that to me is worth 220. Now, if this gets closer to even, that's probably when I start to get off of Almeida. But at this kind of value, like I think he uncorks the right hand and scores it.
All righty. There are your winners. I will give you all of Gumby's recap with all of Gumby's picks, because his are the official picks. He's got Almeida as a dog. He has got, who do you got in the next one? Grad.
I got
Bogdan. Well?
Yep. Bogdan Grad is a dog.
Yep. Zlaflarski as a pick'em. He has got Junior Cortez as a dog and Borjas as a dog. You got all dogs except for one pick'em. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it, man.
Oh boy. You seem a little nervous about it.
I will say, just like, and I didn't want to be the guy who just was like, pick all dogs on the first episode. Like after I taped them and I kept being like, I like Grad in this one. I like, you know, this one. I don't feel like I could pick against Almeida at that kind of value. And like, I just kept watching him and being like, isn't there a favorite I was supposed to pick here? Because, you know, when you go through a whole card, right? You've gone through a whole UFC card before and been like, oh shit, I have all favorites. I got to find a dog somewhere. This almost felt like the opposite. I got done and I was like, did I just accidentally take all of the dogs? I was like, I did. Shouldn't I have found a favorite somewhere? And then I went back looking and I was like, wait, what am I doing? If like two of these hit, it probably pays for itself. And I feel like all five of them are going to hit. So let's roll the dice on week one.
Yeah, oops, he picked all dogs. Shucks, eh?
Yeah, oops, all dogs.
Oops, all dogs. Hey, there's a good title right there. It was going to be Yanni season, but maybe
dogs. Can't say oops, all dogs in the title. Who the hell is going to listen to it?
Oh, that's true. Yanni season. Yanni season it is then. All right. Thank you. Happy Yanni season to everyone. Hopefully you enjoy the Contender Series. Get in the Discord and chat with us if you're not in there already.
And get in on our contest too while we're at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the SGPN app.
Yep, go in the SGPN app, enter, what is it, pick them for every week of Contender Series? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're going to have every single week. There is a tiebreaker that you got to get in on the first week, so make sure you get your picks in there now, and you're going to pick the winner and method of all of these. So there is a little extra gamesmanship there.
All righty, awesome. So do that. Chat with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Get the app, obviously, SGPN app, as Gumby said. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All the good stuff's there. Join the Patreon. Help keep the lights on for all our podcasts. What else shall you do? I give you lots of jobs you have to do at the end of every podcast. Twitter, we're SGPN MMA. Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland. Instagram, I'm Jeff_Fox_Writer. And my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, get a free or a very cheap paid subscription so you can unlock everything. Enter my pick'em contest every week on there. Except this coming week, I am not going to run a pick'em. I don't have enough prizes to give out. So you're going to have to wait till the pay-per-view in 2 weeks for another pick'em. And what else should you do? Listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Gumby has lots of Contender Series people on it this time of year. Do you know who's on it this coming week, or is it going to be a surprise?
So I know one for sure. I got Isaac Dolgarian on this week. I'm also scheduled to have Damon Blackshear on, although he's now waiting on an opponent because Brady Hiestand pulled out. So if he finds another opponent in the next day, it'll probably be him. But otherwise, I've got a couple other Contender Series guys that are going to be making appearances. So keep an eye out for that.
So Brady Hiestand's a premature finisher as well, Dan.
Yeah. I mean, he never got started, so.
Well, you know what you said. My joke is good. It makes sense. All right. We'll leave you on that. When we coming back Wednesday, how about there's more UFC to break down. We got another UFC event this coming week. So we'll be back Wednesday. Maybe we'll talk some Contender Series on Wednesday. Tell you how great we did the night before with our picks. Well, at least with Gumby's official picks. So you can take us out of here, Gumby.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He's the Brazilian peanut candy, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.